Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pracharne, Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pascha Chadish Tarne, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. It'd be good to close the window that's blocking the screen, is it? The white one? Just. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, oops, Shivas, what is that? Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchika Paturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So, of course, it goes without saying completely that we are troubled by the pandemic in different ways. In our program today, there are also positive sides. Devotees have noticed a number of times. Yes, so that's that. But anyway, it's a very important occasion. It's a very wonderful occasion. It's a very, educational occasion. It's a very deeply enriching occasion. I find it deeply enriching for myself, frankly. It's a time of reflection. Many devotees say that. Some devotees have said that this evening. And yesterday, we had our Russian devotees, the program. Quite a few devotees were there. And a number of them talked about reflection and looking back and looking forward and considering one's situation and where one is coming from, what one needs to do now and how one should move forward. For the disciples, it's an occasion like that. For myself, frankly, it's definitely an occasion like that. And I've been reflecting on many things, actually, just the last 2-3 days since Friday, I suppose, or Thursday, Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja day. A lot of reflection, a lot of thought, which is good. It's very good. Sometimes it's a little, challenging, because there's always room to move forward. And when one sees the room to move forward, and one sees the need to move forward from where one is, then that's a little challenging. Maybe challenging, but yeah, it's an inspiration. It's enlivening, it's exciting, but also it makes one consider, oh, I should be doing better, and now I should do better, means, now I'm not doing as well as I could be doing, or should be doing. So, one of our godbrothers, His Holiness Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj, I've mentioned before, he said, maybe a couple of years ago, he said, in the relationship between spiritual master and disciple, there is mercy and there is a burden. The disciple gets the mercy, and the spiritual master gets the burden. There's truth in that. There's some truth in that. It's not absolutely just like that. It certainly is sometimes definitely like that, because the disciples are coming from material life. At least, particularly when they just become disciples, then they're just shortly they've come from material existence, and that material existence carries with it. There's so much baggage coming from material existence. And it takes some time. It takes some time to really deal with that, even really deal with half of that, really deal with it. It takes some time and some effort and some, anyway, everyone's on their different levels, but for some there are some real struggles in terms of getting free from that baggage from one's previous material existence. Oh. And of course the spiritual master becomes implicated in that, or with that, to some degree at least. If we've read Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, we would know how Brahmatirtha Prabhu, Bob Cohen, asks Srila Prabhupada that, well, he says first of all that we see that you, apparently you get some reactions from something, that you become ill sometimes. That may be particularly noticeable. So there's some things, noticeable things, which normally we would say they're coming, you know, if you're typically for a person, that they're coming from material reactions from their previous material activities. So Brahmatirtha Prabhu asked Prabhupada, but in your case, how can it be? How can it be? Because you've not performed any sinful activity. You're a pure soul. And so how could this be coming to you? And Srila Prabhupada says, yes, actually I have performed some sinful activity. My sinful activity is that I have accepted some people as disciples who were not really up to the standard, and therefore, you know, they remained with some material things there, and those affected Prabhupada, he said, that because we're trying to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, sometimes we accept some people and it's not entirely clear really what their standard is. And therefore, sometimes, in some cases, the standard is actually insufficient. But we have to do that for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. Otherwise, if we just wait and wait and wait and wait until there's just no room for any question, for any doubt, is a person qualified or not, then, as one devotee jokingly said, but it's an interesting thought, we would have to wait until maybe half an hour or an hour before the devotee is about to pass away, the candidate, and then say, can you vow that for the rest of your life you'll just never do any of these things? And they'll say yes, and then That's going to be. So that was Prabhupada's standard. Of course, obviously he was not irresponsible in accepting people, but sometimes, you know, because you just can't tell sometimes with some people. With some people, you can tell pretty much. So, yes, so there are some challenges. And in being, there's some challenges for the disciples. There are definitely some challenges in being a spiritual master. But I've been reflecting. Well, you know, it's of course been a reflection for a long time. I mean, many years. But just even the last few days, I've really been reflecting. And there's some circumstances too. But anyway, the end result has been that I've been reflecting on the responsibility of being a spiritual master or taking that service, trying to serve the devotees by taking up the role of being a spiritual master and accepting disciples. It's such an incredible responsibility. On one hand, I remember actually the first time I ever accepted any disciples, the very first time, it was just around the Rath Yatra time. I think it was 1990. Yeah, it was 1990. Means like Christmas time, just at the end of 1990. And I'd not accepted any disciples before. There was a handful, including Mukunda Prabhu and Mother Lalita Kund, who, and you know, it seemed to be that it should be done. And some thought about the responsibility made me just feel very responsible that I have to really be focused in Krishna consciousness. So it was a positive stimulus that was beneficial. Yes, so that side of it is there. There's a real positive stimulus that, oh, I have this responsibility. People have these expectations. There's so many statements made by great devotees, by Srimad Bhagavatam, by Shastra. There's so many statements made that spiritual masters are like this and like that. Nectar of Devotion, we have read just quite recently, there are warnings for spiritual masters. When I first read those many years ago, I thought, oh, why is Prabhupada warning spiritual masters? Spiritual masters are people who don't need warnings because, you know, they're on such a level. Yeah. But, of course, in those days I didn't know so much about being or trying to be a spiritual master. So I've really been thinking, it's been a subject of thought. Now it's 30 years, coming up to 30 years at the end of this year that I've been accepting disciples. So it's been an ongoing subject of thought, but particularly last week maybe or 4 or 5 days, I've been really thinking about it very deeply. What is the responsibility? It's a stimulus for making your very best effort, or even better than your very best effort. But at the same time, the material nature is there, and our conditioned natures are there, sort of hanging around and trying to haunt us like ghosts. You know what it's like. Yeah. And Maya Maya is a pure devotee, and her one aspect of her service to the Lord is to test the devotees. And Maya is relentless in her performance of that part of her service, of all of her service, of course. But she's definitely relentless in her performance of that part of her service. So, but still, it's really, to be a spiritual master, such a responsibility. The more time goes on, the more I think about it, the more, even when I've already thought it's clear, then it becomes more clear. So there's the positive side, and there's also the somewhat challenging side. Just like if you have some, even one disciple, Prabhupada, I think maybe it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur, makes the point that even just one disciple who is like a real cheater and a real nonsense, you know, just a really bad one, just one disciple can be sufficient for a spiritual master even to fall down. What to speak of, like, the discussion between Prabhupada and Brahmatirtha Prabhu went. So on one side, that's there, the challenging side of the disciples. The disciples get the mercy, the spiritual master gets the burden. There is a positive side to having disciples, which Srila Prabhupada discusses in the fourth canto. At the end, I think it must be around the end of the story of Dhruva Maharaj, when he was just about to take off to Vaikuntha on the Vaikuntha airplane, or there were a few Vaikuntha airplanes, and then he saw his mother, who was a type of spiritual master to him, like a Vartma Pradarshika, someone who just kind of points the way that this is, you know, go in that direction, the right direction, without getting into any detail at all, but just some a little prompting, practically. So his mother was like that, and it's like a type of spiritual master, at least to some degree. But on the basis of that instruction, Dhruva Maharaj became the great, great Mahabhagavat Dhruva Maharaj. And there he is now, he's on his way back to Godhead. But then he told them, the devotees who'd come on those airships from Vaikuntha, to wait, take my mother also. In this way, you can read through that, it's just a few verses. And Prabhupada very humbly says that just as Dhruva Maharaj, who was like the disciple to his mother, who's, you know, a spiritual master, a type of spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada very humbly says that I'm very old and many problems are there. So I am praying, I am hoping that just one of my disciples will become like Dhruva Maharaj and take me back to Godhead. Basically, he says like that. So we pray, means I pray, that one or as many as possible, but at least one of my own disciples will become like that. And I'd appeal, ask, order, I definitely request very strongly that all of you, there's however many of you watching this evening, and I'm sure, you know, the recordings and everything of what I'm saying now will be distributed. But really, please take it from me that you're becoming disciples. This is not, of course, it's not a joke at all, of course, but it's a very deep thing. It's a very deep thing. Actually, as Srila Prabhupada said, when one comes to Krishna consciousness, it means one is standing on the threshold of eternity. It means right by the doorway. And all one has to do is take a step. And there you are, back home, back to Godhead. So that facility is there for all of you. We, you know, of course, we do our level best to repeat what we've heard from Srila Prabhupada. We do our level best. And behind us is Srila Prabhupada. Behind us is Srila Prabhupada. So one way or another, if you make the most, really make the most of the facility you have through initiation, just through being part of ISKCON, and you could say ultimately being connected with Srila Prabhupada, your path back to Godhead, it's just there. It's just there for you to take. It really is. Plus, it will be very beneficial for myself, actually, that if we can present some devotees to Srila Prabhupada that here, look, these are qualified devotees. These are actually first-class disciples. Then Prabhupada will be so happy and he'll help us present them to Krishna, present you to Krishna. So, yes, in this regard, you know, of course we keep our eyes on the disciples. We keep our eyes on all the devotees, actually, that we're connected with in our areas of responsibility, how they're doing. And I must say, I do see in quite a number of cases that devotees, let us just say disciples, they're really making progress in different ways. Sometimes we can say or see and say in terms of becoming purified, developing as spiritual character, spiritual personalities. We can see actually they're becoming purified. It's a step-by-step thing, but it's happening. That's very nice. Another thing is, and this was really drummed into us when I first joined so many years ago, another thing is devotees accepting responsibility in Prabhupada's movement, taking up responsible, important service, responsible service, and really taking it in very solid and deeply, deeply felt and very deeply responsible ways. That's also a sign of advancement, of progress. In that regard, I did say this morning, actually, I wanted to mention His Grace Govardhan Prabhu, who's a disciple of mine, of course, an earlier disciple of mine. And at least all of you in South Africa, you're all very well aware how he has, step by step, actually, over the years, it's not just very recently, but it's been going on for some time, been accepting responsibility in responsible ways, In other words, not biting off more than he can chew, but definitely increasing his responsibility. Now he's a full GBC member. Full GBC member. And he's only been, it's for what? Say, it's 6 months, 5-6 months or so now. But he's really giving his very best. And I really appreciate that. I mentioned Swarup Damodar Prabhu. Of course, he's not my disciple. He's my old friend. But the sannyasi is the spiritual master of everyone. And the GBC is sort of the spiritual master of everyone. These things are there. Anyway, we're spiritually connected. And I've been watching him for many years. And there's no doubt he's been moving forward. Just no doubt at all. And I really appreciate that. And it's really good for him. Another one I want to mention is His Grace Prabhanu Prabhu. Again, he's not my disciple, but we have had a spiritual connection for many years. And the same thing's happening with him. And you know, not just limited to them. Deva Prabhu. We can see he's progressing, has progressed, and is progressing. It's really nice. And, you know, many others. I mean, I don't want to try and say the names of all and then possibly miss some out. But those are just a few who come to mind, really come to mind, really come to mind very strongly. And when I see that happening, I feel very pleased. Even though I may not be sort of contributing to their progress, because there's the whole world of Krishna consciousness, which is full of influences and different people who exert influence also. But when I see these things happening, particularly in areas where I'm involved or deeply involved, I feel very pleased. Very, very pleased. Yeah. So, otherwise, yes, being a spiritual master, one devotee said something several years ago, that Krishna consciousness is so nice. We must just get into it and get the nectar and just, you know, you could say enjoy it and just relish Krishna consciousness. It's just so wonderful. But then the devotee said, but we should never forget where we got it from. So appreciation. Well, perception of reality means, particularly if we're really trying to endeavor to practice as nicely as we're able, then perception of reality means that we are aware, as much as we are able to be, we're aware from where the mercy is coming, which is helping us. Yes. Well, another one I must add to the list is our Ram Vijay Prabhu. Yeah, seriously. No kidding, no joking. I'm not being diplomatic or patronizing. Yeah. I already have a nickname for him, but I won't tell you. It's a secret at the moment. but not for too long. But thank you also. You have risen to the challenge. Have you ever? Gosh. Anyway, sorry, I got a bit stuck there. Yes, we must remember where we got it from. Yes, so perception of reality. If we're not perceiving reality, if we're just sort of in a dream world, in the middle of the real world, while the real world is what's actually going on, then, you know, that's not good. That's terrible. So perception of reality in Krishna consciousness includes or means, but it definitely includes as a major factor, that we are getting mercy. We are getting mercy. Like I said, if we're really trying our best, and if we're really trying our best, then progress will be there. So, yes, perception of reality means or includes or means that we see, I'm getting mercy here, I'm getting mercy from Prabhupada, I'm getting mercy from my initiating spiritual master, I'm getting mercy from some other devotees, I'm getting mercy from different places, I'm getting mercy from chanting my round. I feel that a lot. Oh, so much mercy from chanting the rounds. That was coming from Prabhupada too. So like that. So perception of reality means that we become aware of where a lot of what is helping us move forward is coming from. And then that means we must appreciate, not that just, oh yeah, it's good to chant, gosh, I must chant more, but we must appreciate that what is this chanting, what is the relationship with the spiritual master, what's the relationship with Srila Prabhupada, etc., with the other devotees. We must appreciate. We don't want to be, and then once you appreciate, then that, I'm getting help from these different sources, then has to come gratitude. And gratitude is not just a state of mind, like a sentiment, a feeling. Gratitude means when we start to express it and reciprocate. And then it really becomes very deep. To be an ingrate, kind of funny word, ingrate, an ungrateful person, that's bad. That's really bad. To be an ingrate means you are focused on you. That's what it means. You're just focused on you, and you don't really care much, if at all, about anybody else other than you. That's material. That's really material consciousness. So in our relationships as devotees, please let us really try, first of all, to understand the reality of our situation in life, and then to be aware of what's helping us, who's helping us, appreciate and be grateful. So to all of you, this is mainly for the disciples, but it's also general. When I observe you, I appreciate tremendously. It's just so wonderful to see the efforts of those, particularly you could say of those disciples who are really trying their best, who are really taking things to heart, I really appreciate. And all of us, well, I've listened to so many offerings in the last, say, 24 or more, 30 hours. And thank you for being appreciative. Thank you. And, you know that it's the right thing to do and try to cultivate it. For my part, I'm trying to do my best. What else to do? Trying to do my best. And, you know, it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. It's definitely not easy. I've just one realization I've had is that about being a spiritual master and just being like in amongst the most senior devotees in ISKCON, like Govardhan Prabhu definitely is now. Swarup Damodar Prabhu is getting up there. Yes, there has been, or is, a move, I would say, or an idea which quite a number of devotees have, you could say, bought into or accepted, is that if one's going to be a spiritual master, it's so important. It's just so incredibly important for the devotees and for the whole movement that anyone who's going to be a spiritual master should focus on being a spiritual master rather than add, you know, like Parthasarathy Maharaj said, the four somethings? The four in one. GBC Guru Sannyasi. Oh, and I was temple president. I remember that. And I remember being in an obscure part of Siberia. Belakurika. It's so, I tell you, it's just obscure. And having to telephone the temple. Was I speaking with you? No, I think it was Dina Bandhu about sorting out some political problem. I won't mention the names, but there was a big political problem. And I... So the big four in one, that, you know, that's four in one. It's like three plus something in one. But the big four in one is GBC, Guru, Sannyasi, and BBT trustee. That's the big four in one. So some devotees can manage it. You know, there are some devotees, they can handle, you know, so far they've handled basically anything that's come their way. But some can't. Some can't. And if you're going to be a spiritual master, you've got to give your best attention. You don't want to be a negligent spiritual master and have the disciples just sort of feeling or being sort of not sufficiently taken care of. So my own policy right now, you know, I've sort of been handling it more or less, I would say. I'm not on the level of some, but it's not been too bad. But I'm trying now to extricate myself very gently and focus as far as being a spiritual master and a preacher, which is sort of, you know, kind of, they go hand in hand. Trying to focus on that and just hand over gradually to these great souls, highly qualified, who are coming up now and to give them room to develop. So therefore, my pledge, it's sort of the same thing I say every year, I guess. You know, I'm trying my level best, you know, to do different things as far as being a spiritual master is concerned. But basically, I'm trying my level best to be there for you, to actually be there for you as tangibly, as humanly or spiritually possible. Yeah. So therefore, if I can help, then please tell me, and I'll try. I promise. I'll definitely try. And that includes not because, you know, not just disciples like official. Of course, in a sense, they get the first attention, but actually anyone, like Mother Hari Priya said something earlier, and so as far as I'm able, as far as you want, I am very reactive. I told some interesting people a little while ago, I'm very reactive. So if people come to me, I normally don't chase around after people so much. Wait for them to come to me. So if I can be of any assistance to you, yeah, I'll try my best. Or anyone. Yeah. And I'm sure like this, you know, I'm confident that I'm really confident and enthusiastic that by doing like this, myself trying to focus more like that rather than get into details of what's going on, I'm confident I'll be able to do a more useful service. Plus, it'll help the devotees, particularly the senior devotees, develop. And then that way it will help the movement develop in these areas where I'm involved. So, thank you all very much. You know, one thing, these japa sessions, I find I chant a lot better than I otherwise chant, really. Govinda Maharaj, how many times have I heard him talk about, you know, we just got to chant, we just got to chant. And I've thought, yeah, you're right. But now I'm feeling it so much more. So I like this, to be able to focus myself on these spiritual things. I mean, it's definitely all spiritual, but say sadhana-related type thing. And I'll try to help you all as much as I'm able. Please carry on enthusiastically. Know that your progress helps me. Your progress helps me. Of course, it helps you first of all too. And let us carry on working together at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And working together and helping each other. And if we carry on nicely like this, then one fine morning, we will wake up, we will all be in Goloka Vrindavan together. And we'll have another ISKCON Radharadna there. I mean, I think it's actually true. That definitely we'll all be together with Srila Prabhupada and all the wonderful devotees, Giriraj Maharaj, Indrajumana Maharaj, Lokanath Maharaj, Ramai Maharaj. What a saint. Unbelievable. And who else should I mention? Anyway, you know. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. And what's our program now?
Do you want to still have the other?